Good day, listeners and viewers. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're so glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes. And so, how's it going?
I am doing well, except for a little toothache.
Oh, yeah.
A little root canal coming up, but I'm going to smile and sort of work my way through it.
Oh, that's the tooth pain is the worst. So we will pray that that gets done.
Amen.
And listeners, we are grateful for you. You know, we wouldn't be able to do this if there was nobody listening or watching. And so thank you for that. Thank you for those of you who have told friends about it. Maybe you've told your pastor or, you know, small group leader, or maybe a counselor in your community, or maybe you're part of a support group and you've let guys in your group know about the podcast. We love hearing stories where people have shared this program with other people because it was benefiting them. And so we just want to say thank you.
Thank you for your
support. Thank you for your financial giving. Thank you to those of you who have rated and reviewed the podcast. Please do that. If you found this helpful, that's an easy, simple way for, it helps the ranking of our podcast. So when people are looking for this kind of program, it allows our podcast to come up a little higher in the rankings. So you can do all of that through our website at puresexradio.com. And Stephen, today we're going to talk about a subject that I think is going to be very appropriate for the times that we're living in.
Okay.
Now you're going to have to let me know how this necessarily applies to our ministry, or if this is maybe like a little sidebar conversation, because essentially you're wanting to talk about being unoffendable.
Unoffendable.
Some of you may be familiar with the book by Brant Hansen. I'm putting this up here for our viewers. It's called Unoffendable: How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better.
So let me ask you this question. If you decided, no matter what your wife said or did today, starting today, you would not be offended. No matter what she said, when she was upset, when life was hard, when things were emotional, you would not be offended. Do you think that would have an impact on you?
I think it could, for sure. Now, I would want, me being the pedantic person that I am, I would want you to define offended.
Okay. So we'll launch. I just wanted to answer the question you asked me. What does this have to do with anything?
Because to me, there's a difference between like offended or disagree, hurt, you know, those kind of things. But
okay, so at the end, you get to tell us, okay, if this has any application in your life or in the life of anybody working on emotional growth or sexual integrity.
Yeah.
So somebody told me about the book. I picked it up. I started reading it. I enjoyed it. It's pretty lighthearted. He bounces around on different topics, but he's a radio personality, and he's involved with social media. And at one point in the book, he says, people would say negative things about me and the program, and they were offended that I didn't say the right thing at the right time. They were listening from 7 to 8, and I made an announcement at 9 o'clock. They got upset. I mean, there were all kinds of reasons to be mad at me. And he said, I'd go home some nights, and I'd write a whole paragraph. I'd spend hours, and then I read it later and think, no, I can't send it. I write another paragraph. Man, I would just ruin days of my life trying to come up with the perfect response. And then he said this statement, I'm not going to let anyone offend me, no matter what. I'm not going to let you offend me. I just refuse to be offended by what you say. And some people say, well, what about righteous indignation or anger, or righteous, you know, fighting back? It's like, oh, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Mm-hmm. They're human beings. Forgive them. So he said,
and by the way, think about the exact moment that Jesus said, Father, forgive them.
That's right.
On the cross.
On the cross. When he could have been offended.
Well, he was being offended.
By a few things he could have.
Yeah, he's being rejected and he was being ridiculed.
But he said, I abandon my right to be angry and I give up my right to be upset. And I'm not entitled to throw a big fit. And I forgive you, and I will not be offended by you. What do you think?
It's almost like a creed.
Okay. Right? Okay.
It's almost like it's something that you would want to have written on a 3x5 index card and put on the mirror of your bathroom. Like, I'm going to have to sort of recite this for a while, maybe even every day, maybe multiple times throughout the day, because I think this isn't something that you just flip a switch on.
No, absolutely not. And I thought this was a proclamation.
Yeah.
I refuse. I lay down my right. If you want to offend me, I will not defend myself. You can say and do whatever you want, but that'll be about you, and I'm not taking it as an offense. So let's just keep going. Mm-hmm. He said, you can see people in wonderful new ways if you're not offended by them. You can treat everyone the same with love. You can see all kinds of possibilities. I can see who you are if I'm not defending me or fighting you back or thinking about what I'm going to say or breaking apart your argument. If I just get to the point where I just refuse to be offended.
Yeah, because as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, I think a lot of being offended is about control.
Okay.
Right? So let's say you say something to me that is, you don't like something about me. For me to get offended, it's not to ignore the reality of maybe what my emotions feel in that.
Right.
I mean, I might be upset. I might be hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
But to be offended is to try to essentially say, I want to change your view. I want to ensure that you see me the way I want you to see me. And that's about control. And it's like it's trying to control something that's out of my control.
Yeah.
I like what he's saying here. He's saying, no, I'm choosing to actually look at what I can control.
Mm.
And what I can control is how I'm going to respond to whatever you're trying to say that you don't like about me.
It is such a foreign concept to refuse to be offended, but there's tremendous freedom in it. Because I was having a good day. You decided to point out a flaw. Okay, I'm going to have a good day. If that's how you want to spend your day, pointing out flaws of people, okay. You can tell me anything you want to tell me. If you want to tell me something bad about me, okay. But I'm not going to be offended, meaning I'm not going to take it on myself and make it my battle and take it in and get all messed up. I thought, can you do this?
Yeah.
Is this possible? Is this a joke?
Yeah, because there's part of me that looks at this and says, this feels simplistic. It feels it's too fanciful, like it's a dream, right. You know, because and I'm not trying to conflate the two here, but in some ways, isn't that the way a lot of people respond to the gospel? Grace, that's simplistic. That is too fanciful. That's too much of a dream.
Yeah.
That's not possible. And so I think some people, in the same way that they try to say, how does this whole gospel thing apply to my real life, my daily life?
Yeah,
I think I could look at this and go, how has this actually worked out in the real world, in on social media,
well, we're on,
in relationships?
Okay,
you know?
So keep listening.
And I know.
We might
answer
a few problems here that, you know. But being disappointed can be a way of life. Some people walk around disappointed.
Yeah.
And then they can dump their disappointment on you and invite you to engage them on their disappointment level. He said, I just decided to quit being offended. You got a disappointment? Okay, talk to the God. I'm not the God. You looking for perfection? Don't be looking at me. If you want to take this as a problem. I wrote this line myself. I said, look, I'm a mess and you're a mess. Okay, so can we just get over this?
Yeah.
You need to tell me what's wrong all the time and I got to fight you and disprove you. It's like, if you want to spend your life telling people what's wrong, fine. But I'm not going to engage that. I don't need to engage that. I don't need to defend myself. He says people can be so judgmental and self-righteous. And do you want to practice anger or you want to practice gratitude? Now, they're practicing judgment and their own self-righteousness. They think it's their job to point out your flaw. And don't you see how right and good they are because they can point out how flawed you are?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. I'm thinking kind of through this, how it even applies sometimes in our ministry. Take, like, let's say a support group, for example. sometimes a support group can grow very dysfunctional when you have an answer man.
Oh, right.
In the support group, right?
Yes.
Because, hey, and usually he it's his first time to come to the group that he's giving everybody the answers, right? And what that can look like is like, oh, well, you just need to do this, and you need to do that, and you're not doing that well enough, and I can't believe you said, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, that is not helpful. That, like you said, it's highlighting, in some ways, it's more highlighting their brokenness than anything they're pointing out in anybody else.
In somebody else, the fact that they have this little routine, they have to go around.
Because it's like, you seem to have a compulsion that you need to correct everyone.
Yeah.
That you need to make sure. And,
So then you have to decide, is that guy going to annoy me? Because he's going to have an answer.
Well, I think about a recent program that we did where you gave that little axiom, like, whatever you say is all about you.
That's right.
Wasn't that what's going on here?
That's exactly right. Whatever, when they open their mouth, a little bit of you is thrown in because they'll say, you know, your name.
Yeah.
But
they're really exposing everything about themselves.
Their offense, their thought process, the words they picked, the incident they picked to jump on. You think about, you encounter someone else, they could say 10 things immediately. I enjoy the moment. I enjoy what you said. I enjoy you. Let's just laugh. You could do 10 things, but this person decides, I'm going to point out your flaws.
Well, and, you know, I have to admit, since you said that in a previous program, it's really convicting me about opening my mouth to say anything. Because then I realize, yeah, you know, actually, wow, that's convicting, you know, because if I were to then say something to my wife or to my kids or to, you know, my neighbor or whatever, am I really actually seeking to help, or am I saying more about myself? You know what I mean? So, and maybe we can get to this at some point.
No, I want
to
hear
this. Maybe it's not part of the
yeah.
conversation, but.
When I say something to my kids, I say something, you lost me
right. I look at
right
it this
there.
Way. Something that's confusing a little bit about this, and maybe we'll get to it, is how do you delineate the difference between authentic correction and somebody being judgmental and self-righteous, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't want, this doesn't seem to me like, and I haven't read the book, so maybe you can tell me, but I don't believe that this would be something where this guy is saying, hey, guess what? I don't care what anybody says to me because I'm not going to be offended. Well, that doesn't mean he can't be corrected, right?
Or give feedback. Say, yeah. I would say, you know, the last three times we've talked, you're sort of pointing out my flaws. And so I just need you to know what's going on. I mean, I might be reflective to someone if they wanted to learn about themselves. But most of the time with people coming at you, they're not open-minded and they're not going, well, I really
know what I'm talking about is the person. I'm talking about the person who's saying, I'm not going to be offended.
Yes.
How does that person receive correction? Because sometimes if somebody's coming, like, you're my friend.
Okay, but
if,
correction is different than an offense.
Okay.
Right? Because if you put in correction, it already means you're open mind, open hearted, and pliable. Offense means I'm fixed and I'm ready to fight.
Okay.
That's how I'd make that shift, because we got to take feedback, and people do tell us it, but oftentimes people don't come in a spirit and a love, and then you have to, and you get offended, right? They might make you uncomfortable. You go, ah, it's awkward. I hate to see that, right? But you didn't come.
Yeah, I guess I still think there's a blurry line there in terms of being able to determine whether or not somebody is coming, and. I'm going to say that's something where I'm realizing I'm not going to be offended, or that's something that, I need to take a look at that and realize that needs to be worked on.
Right. Well, one would just go right in. The other one would, you know, cause you to sit up and go, why are you using that tone on me? Right. An offense has to come because a violation occurred.
Yeah.
But when you give me information and say, hey, you should open your door at 8 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock. It's like, am I going to be offended? No, that's information, right? So I sort of put that in one category. But let's just go on, because he says grace is amazing and Jesus' love can break through our hearts when we want to defend. He says, some people desperately need to let others know how wrong they are or how and how right I am. And that's the kind of person that I think we're playing with in this scenario.
Yeah.
And he says, God's grace, practice grace on them. They need to show your weakness or how smart they are. They found your flaw, right? When that person comes at you, it's easy to be offended. But I want to tell this story that doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing, but it's it talks about the spirit of this book. Tony Campolo, do you remember? He was back in the 80s,
yeah.
Writing books. He was giving talks, going around the country, sociologist, Christian.
Right, yeah.
And he was up at 3 o'clock in the morning at a donut shop because he couldn't sleep, time travel, all that kind of stuff. A couple of prostitutes walked in, like three or four. It's three in the morning. And they're over here talking, and he's eating his donut and listening. And one of them says, girl, it's your birthday tomorrow. Yeah. And what do you want? I want a cake. Nobody's going to give you a cake. Shut up, you know. And then they leave. Then Campolo asks the donut shop owner, do these women come in here every night? He says, oh, yeah, every morning, early in the morning, they're here. So he said, I want to give her a birthday party. So can you make a cake? I'll pay for it. We'll have a party here at 3 o'clock tomorrow, because if they'll be here, I'll be here. And and so the owner of the store told a few other women there were 30 prostitutes that showed up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they presented this one woman with a cake, and she just burst into tears. She said, I've never had a cake in my life. And they wanted to cut it, and she said, do we have to cut it? Can I take it home? I want to just have it and look at it for a few days, you know.
Wow.
So they ate donuts and they laughed and everybody left. And the store owner asked, oh, and then Campolo prayed for her. And the store owner said, oh, I didn't know you're a preacher. He said, I'm not a preacher. He said, where do you go to church? He said, I go to a church that loves prostitutes. He said, if there was a church like that, I'd go to that church.
Mm.
He said, I don't go to church, but I would go to that church. And so part of this is we're offended by how people look. We're offended by what they do. We're offended. We're Christians. We're clean. But there's a sense of judgment in us and righteousness. And so this offense isn't just somebody pointing out your flaws. It goes across the board. What offends you?
You know, as you're saying that, I think about how we can rigidly have in our minds how we think life should go, how we think, even how we think God should be. And it makes me think about when Christ showed up, the incarnate God showed up, and it says essentially that the world that he made didn't recognize him. Because what had they done? For centuries, they'd been saying, they'd even been studying the word that he had sent to them. And yet coming up with the conclusion that they expected. And so therefore, when Christ shows up, they go, you're not him. In other words, they were pointing out all the flaws in Jesus, right? And I should put air quotes around flaws, right? Because he's perfect. He's God. But what was happening there, right? They had a particular idea of what they thought this should look like when Messiah shows up. Jesus was not fitting any of that. And yet, how did Jesus respond? Did he take offense?
You
said earlier, he said, Father, forgive him. Like when it finally got to the point where they are literally crucifying him, that's the moment when he said, Father, forgive them.
The ultimate unoffendable.
Unoffendable.
Jesus is the ultimate unoffendable.
Yeah.
You cannot offend me. If I know who I am and what love is, how you act or you dress, my judgment of you, what I think right and wrong is.
I think that is so powerful. And I think that's something that we need to be reminded of in the church.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I think we can, even today, even after having been given this the complete picture of the redemption of God through Jesus, even today in our churches, can't we start narrowing what we think things
Absolutely.
Should look like?
And I'm guilty of it.
Me too.
I like, and I don't, and I have a cookie cutter view.
This gets a little bit back to the idea of sometimes our offense comes out of our fears.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
If I don't have, you know, I can imagine how I might have emotionally reacted at 3 a.m. if prostitutes come into a donut shop where I'm having a donut. I commend Tony for how he responded to that. I might have just said, let this situation just pass on by and, you know, not do anything about it.
Can you love someone without needing to change their behaviors?
Wow. Now, let that sit for a minute, because I think I can hear some wives struggling with that question.
Yeah.
It can almost feel hurtful to them to say, I have been loving a man who's not changed his behaviors, and I don't know if I can do it anymore.
Yeah.
And we're not, and I don't think we are saying that that means that if somebody doesn't change their behaviors, you have to stay in proximity to them, right?
Yes. And I mean, I appreciate the population you're speaking to, because I'm talking in a big global way, but you're sort of customizing it to the audience.
Because clearly we don't want to have somebody say, oh, stay in an abusive situation or stay in, you know, a destructive situation. But
I want to control your behavior without being fully in control of my behavior.
Right.
You know?
And don't we see that, though, a lot of times in a struggling marriage that's trying to restore, and it starts to become a tug of war of who's controlling who, you know, and
some people think, I must be alienated and put off by your sins. But God loves us, and nothing can separate us from that love. God loves. That is just who he is. In the test of love is how you love others.
Mm.
They will know you are a follower of Christ by your love. That's what John 13 says. And Jesus is using me and my love to change others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, do I defend myself? Do I fight against? Or do I say, love first, love wins, love responds. I forfeit my right to get opposite you and judge you and condemn you, because I'm a saved sinner myself. How can I judge you? How can I not love you? How can I be offended by you? Without love, we're just noisy gongs.
And this is probably where, though, I would want to, again, make that distinction between how we're defining offense.
Okay.
Because I can think of all my friends out there who we would say they rank really high on the justice meter.
Okay.
In other words, you know, we talk about Jesus was full of truth and grace, right?
Yeah.
100% of both. I think we lean one direction or the other generally. In other words, I think you have people that lean more towards grace and less towards truth, and others that lean more towards truth and less towards grace. So I'm speaking now of the high truth people, the high justice.
Okay.
How do you address kind of that whole, because they would hear what you just said there and be like, hey man, there's injustice in the world. There's things that need to be, you know, spoken out against, and we need to correct people, and we need to tell them where, you know, listen, I'm not going to sit by and
But see, I still separate in my mind the offense, so that the offense is me protecting me versus justice for the underdog or the weak or standing against evil. Right? This is a very personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be offended and walk around protecting yourself? Because that's what this is about, getting what I want my way and the world, and I can judge you and I can condemn you, I can withdraw from you, I can do, because I'm offended. So I don't know. We may still have that discussion when this is over, that when do you stand up and fight for the truth? Right? But I think this guy's teaching a principle he learned.
Yeah.
I don't think he's telling you how your whole life should be and how all of you should be. I think he's saying, hey, you're offended too easily. Knock it off. Work on growth. I mean, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, and I can see that. I guess there's just a part of me that wonders, you know, I'm thinking of it from the people that maybe we've been categorizing in this conversation as the offenders. And saying, hey, at what point in time is what they're saying actually the truth? meaning like, you know, standing up and looking at somebody and saying, you're dead wrong. You're absolutely out of line. And then does that make sense? So in other words, and now if you want to take offense at that, fine. But I mean, there is a point in time where it's like, we need to call evil evil. We need to call lies lies. We need to call, you know.
Right.
And so to me, I guess in some ways I'm talking from the other side.
Right. I think that's right.
Of like the offender. And is it like, well, is it always offensive? Is it? It's sometimes it's the truth, you know. But I get what you're saying. We need to take responsibility for what we can take responsibility for, and that is choosing how am I going to respond,
right,
when somebody says whatever they want to say to me or does whatever they want to do. I think this would be an interesting thing, interesting books to juxtapose against, let's say, Townsend and Cloud's Boundaries book. It'd be interesting to figure out the interplay between the idea of being unoffendable and also having boundaries, you know?
Right. But in my mind, boundaries is for somebody, it's going to sound bad, that could be offended or weak or could be taken advantage of. I have to protect myself, right? Because I see this as, be who you're going to be. I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to let you, you know, stab me or run over me with your car. Or
right.
Your dog. I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to walk around taking offense at you and spend a lot of my life responding to you.
Right.
Because if you're not healthy, I don't want to waste my time.
This should be the time where I say, you know, this is one of those programs where it can feel very, maybe feel disjointed to you as the listener, probably because maybe it feels disjointed to me and maybe to Stephen. But hopefully you're at least hanging with us in the conversation, because I think this is maybe how we work some things out, like to learn.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely trying to learn here, because if anything, I realize, yeah, I need to read this book. I need to press into this a little bit more. I think I get the concept overall. I think you and I are just have been talking on maybe opposite sides of the equation.
Well, but
equation.
And I think to put your point in perspective, Jesus did confront the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And he did call out truth, and he did assert himself, and he pushed against the power leaders and those that were leading people astray. He called them. He said, you're teaching death where you should be teaching life, and you're full of dead men's bones. And he pushed back on those where he needed to push back.
And yet he did it without being offended, in the sense of, like, I mean, we think about Philippians 2, right, where it says Christ, you know, emptied himself, not considering equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Mm-hmm. In other words, when these Pharisees are getting it totally wrong, he didn't say, hey, guys, don't you know that I'm God? And I mean, you're talking against me here, and you're talking.
And that would be an offended Jesus.
That would be an offended Jesus. Yeah. Instead, he pointed out truth and was like, he absolutely knew who he was. He didn't have to go there.
And even though they were in high places and all robed up, and everybody thought they were hot stuff, and they thought they were hot stuff, he saw broken humanity.
Yeah.
Right? And he went.
An offended Jesus would be a Jesus at every turn saying, hey, watch what you just said, because I could call down a whole host of angels here if you don't straighten up. You know, I could call down some fire.
You know, that's right.
That's an offended Jesus.
There you go. That's it. Yeah. And so when he needed to push against the distorters of truth, he pushed against them, right? Mm-hmm. When he needed to use the strength of a quiet spirit, he did that too, right? Mm. We're all the good Christians. There are none, because we're all saved sinners, right? So I don't care what you do. I'm going to love you because that's what I'm called to do. I have to love first and you know, self to the back, love to the front, whatever that means. Because I don't think it, because loving the Pharisees meant confronting the Pharisees. But that was love. That was not wounded Jesus, right? So God is never scandalized by sinners. Jesus was not offended by Zacchaeus. We get offended with the tax collectors. He's over there. He went over to Zacchaeus' house. He ate. Nothing Zacchaeus did offended Jesus. because they're not even on the same plane. And it's almost like when you get offended by someone, you've just reduced yourself to their playing field and you're going to play their game on their term.
Yeah.
When you practice love and response, it's like, I'm up in the heavenlies. I don't know what you're doing down in the pit. I'm living, I'm walking with Abba here in the heavenlies, and you can tell me how bad it is.
That idea of God never scandalized by sinners, that makes me think of, isn't it fascinating that the first person that Jesus openly and explicitly revealed who he was to a sexually broken Samaritan woman?
Yeah.
Think about how that, how wrong that was on every level through the Pharisees' eyes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, none of that would have been how they would have seen God show up.
Yeah, that's good.
And show himself.
Rules don't change anyone's heart ever. Grace does.
Yeah.
We're the face of love. And once you get free, you can really love. Letting go is the solution. So I surrender my right to be offended by you, your behavior, your words, what you do. I refuse to give up what I have with my Father to get to be your overseer and clean you up and change your behaviors. That's the God's job. I'm free to fail because I'm going to, you know, and I'm free to live well. And I give you permission to be a sinner that's been saved, because I'm a sinner that's been saved. I'm fallen, you're fallen.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a thing. So you close. What do you
think? So, here's the book, Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. And I think this is a good thing to have as an ongoing conversation. I think if any of our listeners or viewers, if you've got questions or feedback for us, please reach out to us, because I think this is something that is, it's very pertinent to the times we're living in right now.
Right.
I mean, it seems like everybody's on eggshells and everybody is fragile, and almost it seems like we are looking for opportunities to be offended. You know what I mean? It's not just something like, oh, it could possibly happen. It's almost like people are seeking to be offended.
Right.
And let's be different as followers of Jesus.
Right.
And that in the same way, when he was in his most painful hour, still chose to say, forgive them. Let's be those kind of people and see what happens. I think we might be able to.
And I don't mean to be intrusive or inappropriate or personal, but didn't your wife do that for you? Say, okay, God and I are going to be okay. You be whoever you want to be, because God and I are going to go on and be good.
Well, and here's the thing. In that regard, I mean, there was a point at which she drove a stake in the ground when she understood what it meant to truly forgive me for the things. Because think what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely laying down that right to be offended, right? Because even though you were deeply hurt.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really proved to me that was a supernatural act was that in the 21 years since we've been back together, she has never once brought up my past against me. Even when we've had arguments, even when we've been angry, you know, and so to me, I'm like, that is a testament to what we're talking about here. And
that's a powerful walk with God, right? Because she could be messed up in the head.
And I think that's an important thing for us to say.
I'm not going to.
As much as we do engage our will in this,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important that everybody realize that to truly walk this out has to be the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Producing that in us.
Amen.
And us in my flesh, I will be offended all day long.
Right.
You
but
know?
Knowing that I'm loved and I'm loved and I'm loved.
Absolutely.
Beyond love, right? It makes no sense, but I'm loved.
Knowing that I've been forgiven, I can forgive others. So,
amen.
Well, listeners, we want to hear from you and walk with you. So please reach out to us. And thanks again for being with us. And we'll see you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.